Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central. I'm joined all the way from London now by Miles Milston. Miles is CEO of a company called Globacap Technology, and they've just received a £4 million investment. That's about 80 million rand, or about 85 million rand at the current exchange rate, from the JSE, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Now, as we reported on Tech Central a bit earlier today, the JSE will be using Globacap's technology to deploy a blockchain-based platform for private placements to allow small and medium-sized companies in South Africa to raise capital. And they're planning as well to introduce it into other African markets. So Miles, firstly, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for talking to us today. How did this deal come about, and how did you guys first come across the folks at the JSE?
Thank you. Thank you very much. The JSE is obviously a well-known institution globally. It's one of the top 20 exchanges worldwide. I actually did a consulting project some time ago for a company that advised a few different exchanges, but at one point the JSE on some competitive research. So while I wasn't directly in contact with the JSE at that point in time, and that was many years ago, nonetheless, there did remain a connection. And more recently, that connection introduced us again after I'd started Globacap, because there seemed like there was some value potentially. And indeed there was. We started speaking with the JSE around a year ago almost, and the conversations have developed since then. Into what you've just described.
Tell me a bit about Globacap. What is it that you guys do exactly?
Sure. So we're quite a young company. We're 3 years old now, and we have the purpose of digitizing and automating the world's private capital markets. And the way that we do that is through the use of technology, by automating and digitizing each of the steps that go into private placement, management of registers, so registrar services, in other words, and secondary transferability of private assets. All of those steps in private markets involve many manual inputs and a lot of human time. And so what we've done is to break down each of those across the whole spectrum of what they involve in equities, but also in debt and other instruments. And we figured out essentially how we can improve those processes through automation, through standardization, and ultimately through digitization. And that's really what our company is about.
All right. So how do you then differ from what a traditional stock exchange would do?
Sure. Well, first off, we're focused on private markets rather than public listed markets. So that's obviously the big difference. And second, we're not a trading platform in the same way that for example, the JSE lists companies and provides a venue to find liquidity for investors. Contrary to that, we're essentially digitizing the process around the private placement side, so the funding process. So in other words, if a company would, relating that back to a stock exchange, as per your question, if a company were to come to market to do an IPO, in our case, we're not trying to target those companies. We're targeting issuers that would otherwise raise money or capital privately. And that process, essentially, we've taken all of the layers through that, from the distribution and regulatory classification of investors across different geographies worldwide, through to the order management, syndication, getting the actual deal live and to market in a form that is entirely digitized and tracked in quite a quick and efficient manner. So that's that process. Second, once the company, relating back to your question, is listed on, let's say, a stock exchange, then there's a process of managing those shareholders and managing their share register. Right. And that's the second essentially product of what or key area which we've focused on. And so we've digitized most of the elements of that. We've created digital registers in the back end, which allow for automation of corporate actions, of communication to investors, of rounding up voting and other types of feedback that's required. and also paying out distributions and everything else that goes along with managing a register and shareholders. So a lot of those components, as you can imagine, are very standard. But to date, they're done generally by a large team of people in various organizations, and take quite a bit of time and cost the company and therefore the shareholders, really more than it should. We've moved to a world where we've digitized almost everything with our smartphones, but it's taken some time for the capital markets world to catch up, particularly the private capital markets world.
Okay, so maybe Miles, take us through what it is exactly that you're going to be building for the JSC, when it's going to be ready, and what impact you think it's going to have on the market.
Sure. So there's two points of focus that we're engaged in with the JSC. One is for an infrastructure investment platform across Africa. Now, there is a huge funding gap of infrastructure in Africa. There's an immense amount of investment that goes into Africa, somewhere around $100-$150 billion per year. However, there is a requirement for more investment than that. And so the first platform that we're helping the JSC to build and launch is an investment market for infrastructure assets from private investors worldwide going into Africa. So that's one. Two is an SME funding market, which is very similar, but rather than infrastructure assets, it's specifically designed to assist small and medium enterprises, firstly in South Africa, but potentially elsewhere as well, to get better access and quicker access to the capital that they need to grow.
So this SME funding market, is it kind of going to be a kind of an alternative to traditional venture capital models?
Well, I would say rather than an alternative, it actually makes accessing those traditional capital markets models easier. Now, the closest comparison to what we're aiming to build and launch with the JSC with respect to SME funding could be a crowdfunding platform, and there are plenty of those that we've seen live in Europe already. So what we do under our own brand name in the UK and in Europe is we actually host private placements on our platform for companies directly, for small and mid-sized enterprises. And so we've launched many private placements now to investors in over 33 countries. And really, that is a crowdfunding model, but a little bit more closed or invitation, so to speak, in a true private sense. And that's really what we're building in the first instance for that SME funding market in South Africa.
So it sounds to me like even if you're an early stage startup, this potentially is an avenue for you.
Absolutely. We have our own brand name that we perform these functions in Europe, specifically for small and mid-sized enterprises. The technology is there. It's been road tested. We are a young enterprise, but we've been live and operational for just over a year now, and we have over £1 billion worth, which is I think roughly 20 or 17 to 20 billion rand, if that exchange rate is correct.
I wish it was. I think it's closer to 20, 21 or 22 billion.
Okay. That's a better number. 21 or 22 billion rand worth of private assets that we've digitized and are managing on our digital register platform. We've conducted private placements now, which have reached just over 600 investors in, as I mentioned, over 30 countries worldwide. And so we're really taking that experience and the technology that we've built that has delivered that, and then partnering with the JSC to launch something similar for SME funding with the JSC specifically, but also to launch it for the infrastructure market across Africa as well.
Are there particular sectors in Europe, for example, where that are attracted to this? Is it, do you have a skew towards tech startups, for example, and do you expect that to replicate here in South Africa?
Yes is the short answer. It's a slight, the long answer is slightly more intricate than that, but absolutely, tech companies are the earliest adopters of tech. Makes sense. And so for that reason, we have had the majority of companies that have signed up to our platform now are tech related in some way. Now that being said, there is a veterinarian company, which is, I guess you could call it somewhat tech, because they do actually have quite a sophisticated level of tech integration and way of reaching their customers and so on. So we do have a range of companies from that through to a pure financial markets trading company through pure tech companies and a range in between. That being said, every company has a share register. It has shareholders. It has employees that might be offered employee share options, which can be digitized and managed as well on the platform. Therefore, every company, not just tech companies, would find this valuable. It makes sense that tech companies would be the first adopters and open to a new digitized way of doing things. But ultimately, it benefits all companies.
No doubt we've got some people listening to this very podcast who work for tech companies are going to be interested in possibly using this platform to raise capital. Maybe take us through what's going to be involved. Firstly, when is this going to be available? And once it is available, how do companies take advantage of it? And what sort of fees are associated with it?
Sure. I can't give you a delivery date as yet, but I would say approximately middle of next year, but that's absolutely a non-committal date. There are some steps, particularly regulatory steps, that need to go through first. Therefore, can't give exact timing on that. But that being said, the process is relatively straightforward. So, a company would onboard on the platform. We have automated DD checks and background and AML checks on both the key persons of the company, which usually takes quite a while in a manual context, but we've automated that in the same way that some digital challenger banks have done across Europe and elsewhere. So that's the first step. We get the company onboarded. We get the company then set up with digital offering private placement documents. We have templates for that, which can speed up the process. That can obviously be customized if the company wants to customize them, but ultimately they can use those to get to market quicker. That process, from initial contact through to getting set up and ready to launch their deal, can take anywhere from 3 weeks in the quickest instance to about 2 months, and that the average that we've seen is about a month, and I would envisage that being the same when this platform launches in conjunction with the JSE in South Africa. From there is the ability to distribute the offering to investors in many jurisdictions. One of the pain points of distributing an offer to investors in different jurisdictions is that every one of those countries has different private placement or distribution securities laws. Now, normally a company would pay a law firm or advisor to ensure that their offering is compliant in all of those different jurisdictions, and they're only targeting, investors that they're able to, according to certain restrictions. They know when they don't have to issue a prospectus and so on. Now, that doesn't change very often. So that was one of the first pain points we solved, which was just to take all of that, put it in a big matrix, and our platform automatically does all of that, makes the offering documents compliant, does a regulatory classification on investors and so on. And so it makes that distribution process quicker and easier and less painful. So once that investment starts to happen, all of the order management takes place on the platform, and ultimately the issuance of the shares, including digital share certificates and so on, also take place after the at the close of the funding rounds. So the start to finish process is actually a lot quicker, because all of those individual processes that often take weeks with human labor, now are digital and happen in a few seconds.
And very broadly speaking, what sort of costs are going to be associated with using the platform?
So that's still to be determined for South Africa specifically. I can tell you, and in fact, I'm not hiding anything because you can see it on our website. What we charge companies in the UK under our own brand for that private placement specifically is a £10,000 flat fee plus 0.2% of funds raised through the platform. Now there might be a slightly different fee set, and that's still to be determined for the South African market. But just to give you a broad idea of how that works, what we really wanted to do was take the traditional model of charging a very high variable fee and turn it more into a fixed fee that companies know upfront, what they're going to be charged, and make that more cost effective and more uniform.
Now, Miles, the underpinnings of all of this is the blockchain or a blockchain. Why blockchain technology as opposed to some other system?
Sure. There's a few reasons for it. Blockchain has, and I want to clarify for viewers that a lot of people hear the word blockchain and then immediately think of Bitcoin. Blockchain is much wider than that. That's one small part of blockchain. That's one small example. We don't use any public blockchain tokens. We don't use Bitcoin or Ethereum or any of the other types of tokens. What we do use is a private chain called Hyperledger Fabric, which was developed by IBM. Now we use that to store as a database, effectively, all of the private share registers, loan registers, and so on, which essentially warehouse the legal information of those securities. Now, there are a few different elements that go into creating what would be called a legal, let's say, shareholding as an example. One of that is the share register itself. One is the share certificate, and depending on the country, there are some other requirements sometimes. Now, all of those can be stored and managed effectively in that blockchain structure more intelligently than just a traditional database, as a starting point. And as an example, let's say that a company raises funds from an American investor. Now, the US SEC has a restriction whereby US investors that invest in private share issuances anywhere in the world has to hold that share issuance for at least 12 months. And if they don't, if they sell it earlier, then it's not only the investor, but it's also the company that's going to get in trouble with the SEC. So rather than a traditional data stored in the database and then have a separate logic layer where that checking is done, which can sometimes lead to that checking not being done, in our case, we've built in intelligent rules into the actual data itself. And so, in other words, if an American investor is allocated some shares on the platform in a new issuance, then the share register itself, as a smart contract in that blockchain code, doesn't allow that specific amount of shares to be transferred out of that shareholder's account for a period of 12 months. The transaction would just fail. So it's actually right down at the share register level itself, which is something novel and hasn't been done very well before. The other element, which is important and interesting, is an audit trail. There's plenty of examples where fat fingers make mistakes of deleting some data that they shouldn't have. And yes, databases are backed up, and there's redundancy, and you can have all of that, and that's great. But in this case, you can actually see an audit trail that cannot be tampered with. So in the case of some kind of fraud as well, that's all there. And yes, mistakes can be corrected, but the historical record of the mistake or any other kind of tampering is always there. And that's something which is important for security. Lastly, and the really big piece, is the distributed nature of it. So in the case of, for example, the JSE, with this platform, there are essentially multiple layers of, and this is speaking now to your more tech-focused audience. So apologies if this starts to get a bit technical here, but
No, please carry on.
we have in our platform essentially three layers of logic. One is the blockchain layer, which is the base layer, which holds those share registers and other types of registers. Now, built on top of that are two web layers. One is the backend web layer, which can be connected to by API, and the last is the front end web layer, which really forms our front end interface that end users can use. So a partner that's using this technology, or any investor or any other entity that's actually connecting to the platform, can connect in one of multiple ways. They can connect just by using the front end user interface web-based deployment, very simple, easy to connect to. The second is they could integrate some functions directly to our API if they wanted to, our web-based backend API, and use a combination of the front end UX and the API. The last and arguably the most powerful is the blockchain layer itself. So an entity could run a node of that Hyperledger directly, and you know, we can assist companies set that up if they want to. What that means is, let's take an example of a company. Let's say they want to have that share register not just housed and accessed in our platform and accessed through the web interface, but they want to have it in their office to be able to say that they have direct control over that register and over the digital share certificates that are issued and so on. And they can do that, and that being part of a Hyperledger network, they would get permission to just that specific register that they can manage directly themselves if they wanted to, as opposed to using a web interface, which automatically syncs, and investors can come via the web interface and still access that quite easily. Extrapolating that out to a larger model now, that for example we would do with the JSE. Now the JSE themselves can run that blockchain node and have direct control over those assets. Then, as appropriate, if there are other custodians involved in for example, larger transactions and institutional investors, then those custodians also, rather than having a traditional reconciliation method, which can sometimes involve SWIFT and other technologies, those custodians or other entities can also directly connect and run that Hyperledger node themselves. And that means a much more efficient reconciliation mechanism for assets across an institutional network.
Right, Miles, I'm not going to pretend I understood everything you just told me there.
I apologize in advance. I told you it was going to get technical.
Absolutely.
I hope that appealed to some of your audience.
I'm sure it did. I think I'm going to go back and listen to that about five times so I can get an understanding of what you just told me. But it sounds very exciting.
I'm a bit of a nerd at heart, so you just need a small trigger and I'll get carried away in the technical stuff, so apologies.
No, it sounds very interesting indeed, and good luck with your launch next year. I look forward to seeing how it does and who takes advantage of the platform. Miles Mulston is CEO of GlobaCap Technology. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you everybody for listening in.